I want to speak again about something that I've seen happen this past week, that the Spirit of God has just birthed something in my heart, my life. And I want to speak to you on the subject, if you'll take your hand out, I want to speak on the subject of keeping your cool, say keeping my cool, in an angry world. I love the story of a passenger was on a flight from L.A. to New York with a layover in Dallas. And he was going to get off the plane in Dallas, and he told the flight attendant, make sure you wake me up so I can get off in Dallas. That's my termination point. The passenger awoke just before the plane landed in New York. He was furious, called the flight attendant and demanded an explanation. The flight attendant offered an apology, and in a rage, the passenger stomped off the plane. Her cohort said, boy, was that guy ever mad, she observed. And the attendant that blew it said, you know what? If you think he was mad, you should have seen the guy I made get off in Dallas. My research, I've discovered that people can blow it. Do you realize that the average woman loses her temper on average 3 times per week? The average man loses his temper on average 6 times per week. Single adults express their anger twice as often as married people. See, there's good enough reason to get married right there. The place we're most likely to express our anger is where? At home, sure. I want to speak to you this morning about keeping your cool in an angry world. So let's try and come up with a definition, if we might, right? And it's this idea of anger. How would we define it? I would define anger this way, fill in those blanks. That anger is a strong feeling of displeasure aroused by real or supposed wrong. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure aroused by a real or supposed wrong. Let's stand for the reading of the word, would you? This morning, Proverbs 16, verse 32, and then go over to Proverbs 29, 11. There's another famous passage of scripture that is 29, 11, Jeremiah 29, 11. But we'll look at Proverbs 16, 32, and then Proverbs 29, 11. Why don't you read it out loud with me, would you? Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Read the second part of that passage, picking up with a man. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Skip over to Proverbs 29:11 now. Everybody there, say amen. A fool, say a fool. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Say these words with me. Lord Jesus, apply your word to my life. You say, what did you see this last week that spurred this in your spirit, Pastor? Well, I would say that you would have to acknowledge that it was somewhat disconcerting to see during the president's State of the Union address, as he closes out the State of the Union, to see the Speaker of the House take a written copy of the State of the Union address and then tear it to shreds as our president finished. And it was disconcerting to me, quite honestly, in my spirit as well, that the next day and the next couple of days, our president came back to try and justify not having to pray for his enemies at a prayer conference of all places. You can't make that stuff up, by the way, can you? That the fact of the matter is that he shouldn't pray for his enemies. You say, well, Pastor, are you getting on our president and our Speaker of the House? Here's the deal. If you've been a part of the church at all, I'm a one-issue voter. You just need to understand that. I vote pro-life. If you're a Democrat, I'll vote for you pro-life. If you're a Republican, I vote pro-life. That's just what it is. But our leadership needs to exemplify character that we as a people can emulate. Both sides of the aisle. And the fact of the matter is, we can't justify it just because people treat us in an improper way. A gentleman was teaching at the National Prayer Conference on Wednesday about the idea of forgiving your enemies and then to walk up right afterwards and say, you know what, I don't believe you ought to do that. That's just improper. I want to talk to you about anger this morning. Rhonda will say to me when we get in the car there, Brad, I wondered where you were going regarding that. It's all good. I promise you, it'll all be the word of God. Anger is a normal human reaction. Do you know that? Anger is spoken about time and time again within the word of God. 455 times anger is referenced in the Old Testament. 375 times, do you know out of those 455 times, it talks about God's anger. Wow. So it's obviously appropriate response given the right situations to be angry. Can you say amen to that? Wow, I wondered if I was going to get any today. Jesus got angry no less than three times in the New Testament. The most famous one, I'm sure you all remember, tipping the tables in the temple upside down. But he got angry in other spots as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do you know there's a right way and a wrong way to be angry? People, and the great part, for the most part, have learned in their individual way how to respond to anger. Some learned it from their parents. Some learned it from the television. Others learned it from people they socialized with. But I would submit to you, there are even four examples in the Word of God where it's typical. These are four typical ways to be able to respond to anger. Let me give them to you, and I'll try and give an example throughout the Word of God. First off, people typically respond in anger in a maniacal or a maniac way. The person's like a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. They've got a hair trigger temper. When he or she gets angry, they throw things, they cuss or yell, stomp up and down. It's terrible. They're literally a powder keg. And this type of person, many times they're ashamed for their actions. They even recognize their maniacal anger and then they quickly apologize. Who would be an example of a maniac's anger in the Word of God? I think that you'd look at Cain and you'd have to definitely say. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 and 8 said, Cain became furious, there he is, angry, and he scowled in anger. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. People respond as a maniac. Secondly, some people respond on the opposite end of the spectrum as a mute. This is just the opposite. It's the silent type. They clam up rather than blowing up. And the crockpot version, sorry, Dennis and Diana, if you don't know, last week at the chili cook-off, I stopped in 204. They invited me in, but I dropped his crockpot top, and it shattered everywhere, and my daughter was traumatized for the rest of the day. But Dennis, I owe you. I want you to know that. But it's a crockpot version. The fact of the matter is it's stewing and simmering. F.I. McMillan, he wrote in one of his books, None of These Diseases. And he talked about 51 diseases that are caused by bottled up anger and hostility. It's about anger being held in. You've heard people say, you know what, that really burns me up. Or they say, that really eats me up. The problem is, it's not so much what we eat in life, although that has something to do with it. It's what eats at you. Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. Jeremiah says, I stayed by myself and was filled with anger. Why do I keep on suffering? Why are my words incurable? Why won't they heal? So we see it. Say maniac. Say mute. Say martyr. Kind of person kind of just holds a pity party. You know what? They're self-punishing and they're passive. And depression oftentimes is just internalized anger. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. The older brother, speaking of the prodigal story, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. He's holding a pity party. You did this, Dad, for him? And I've been here loyal the whole time. He's mad. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Some people get mad just by playing the martyr's role. Fourthly, people can be a manipulator as well. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, talks about the Pharisees. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. The manipulator is what? You know what? Don't get mad, get even. But they're actually mad. That was the kind of Lee Iacocca's name brand. Don't get mad, just get even with them. And this is the option I would submit to you that even Christians opt for, because it seems more spiritual. Well, I'll be nice to you, but I'll put a knife in your back. It's like the old poem. Remember, I've quoted, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell with those we know, that's a different story. Aristotle talked about anger. He said, anybody can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power, and that is not easy. To Aristotle's point, I agree to a point. Here's where it's not easy, but I do believe it's within everybody's power because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to look with you at six ways to lower your temperature. Six ways to lower your temperature in life and to deal with anger. Here's what the word says, Proverbs 25, 28. If you cannot control your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls, open to attack. All of these manifestations of anger, Brighton, are in one way or another the way that we carry out our anger. Think about it. That verse, if you will. If you can't control your temper, then you're in for a world of hurt in life. All four of those ways are learned ways. Martyr, manipulator, the fact of the matter, maniacal, whatever role that you play. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be unlearned. So I'm going to give you six ideas this morning. First off, count anger's cost. Look at the word says. And in fact, would you do a study sometime, Brighton? Just go through the book of Proverbs. It'll blow you away. How many times the idea Solomon deals with anger within just that 31 chapter book. Look what he says in chapter 29. An angry person stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Will Rogers used to say, people who go into a flying rage seldom make a good landing. I like that. If you fly to Israel, you'll either fly into Tel Aviv, I would submit to you, or many times if you're going to the Holy Land, you might even go into, especially a generation ago, you might fly into Amman, Jordan, right at the borders. And in Jordan, there is a mountain called Nebo. Say Nebo. And it overlooks the Jordan River, the lush plains and the lush countryside, the fertile valleys of Israel, the vegetation, flora and fauna, if you will. But Moses, this great leader, a meek man for the most part, but on a couple of occasions, his anger got the best of him and it caused him to disobey God. Because of one primary outburst, but if you study Moses' life, he wrestled with that his entire being. God prohibited Moses from entering the promised land. The closest that Moses ever got was seeing the promised land from the Jordan sign from Mount Nebo where he died. Can you imagine, right? Think about it. The heartache that he experienced. He wished he could have crossed over Jordan with his people and planted his feet on that sacred land, that sacred soil that God had kept. He was oh so close, but yet so far away. And all because of one thing, anger. Nothing will cook your goose quicker in life than anger. Ben Franklin said it. I love it. Remember the old Richard's almanac? Poor Richard's almanac. Take this remark from Richard, poor and lame. Whatever's done and begun in anger ends in shame. I would submit to you, anger has got at least three components that it'll cost you. It's divisive. It's divisive to a person's life. Look what Solomon wrote. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. You show me somebody that's argumentative, always wanting to pick a fight, and I'll show you somebody that has very few friends. Note, you'll always lose when you lose your temper, friend. You'll lose friends, you'll lose children, you'll lose spouses, you'll lose respect, you'll lose your health, you'll lose jobs. You will never win. It's divisive. It's secondly, it's destructive. Look what he says, Proverbs 19:19. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Can I tell you, Brian? There's people on death row. There's people in jail. There's even people that are dead today because of anger. Our health is affected. Great physiologist by the name of John Hunter. He had a severe heart condition himself. And he said, and I quote, "My life is at the mercy of the person who can make me angry. The first scoundrel who can make me angry will kill me." It's not only destructive and divisive, but can I just tell you, anger's just dumb. The word says this, Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. If you're a person, Brian, with a hair-trigger temper, you are a fool. And if you just got mad at me for saying that, you proved my point. Yesterday, Jerry and I had lunch recently, and we were talking about our basketball days. And the further you get away from your basketball day, playing days, the better you were back in the day. You ever notice that? And I was talking about a coach that my coach kind of studied under, my high school coach. I told you, I called my coach a year ago this summer, and I just said, "Mr. Snell, you know, I want to thank you for your investment in my life. I'm part of the man that I am today because of your investment." He said, "Trask, all I did was yell at you and curse at you. You don't have to thank me." It was very true. But you know what? I made it through. But we were joking, Jerry and I were, about this coach, Bobby Knight. And then I didn't even realize yesterday was going to be a reunion for Coach Knight. 20 years he had been separated from Indiana University after, you know, he choked a guy on the team. And, you know, what he was invited back and given a standing ovation. Kind of just, it was refreshing, and it was kind of sad just because how people age and the like. But Coach Knight, 3 national championships, 76, 81, I think it's 87. Brilliant basketball mind. But can I tell you, whenever you look at him and talk about him, what are most of you thinking about even while I talk about? All we can see is him throwing a chair across a basketball floor, right? Or how about even Woody Hayes? Brilliant mind, part of the 10 years war with Michigan versus Ohio State. But all you see in my mind's eye is Woody Hayes slugging that Clemson linebacker that intercepted the pass in 1978 and punching him in the throat. And that's the end of his career. Hot-temperedness, anger is divisive, it's destructive, and it's just dumb. Count anger's cost. Secondly, respond, don't react. A patient person has great understanding, but a quick-tempered person displays folly, the word says. Thomas Jefferson, he used to say, when you get angry, count to 10. When you get real angry, count to 100 and then do nothing. I like that. 10 different times in the Bible says this. You ready? Say it with me. God is? Say nice and loud. God is slow to anger. parents, teach your children to ask two questions when they feel their temperature rising. Is this really worth my anger? And is this, secondly, is this the best way, place, and time to express my anger? Emotions can be tamed, and the temper can be trained. When I used to be driving in my 20s and 30s, okay, even into my 40s, if somebody cut me off, you know what, I'd sound the horn, and for the most part, I would just let it slide. But you know what, Rhonda would always joke, Brad, why do you got to look at them when you drive by? Guilty. See, you know what, President Trump's not the only one. But I've mellowed a little bit because, you know what, today I'm likely to get shot if I push it too far. Look what the word says, Proverbs 13:16. Sensible people always think before they act. A sharp tongue is the quickest way to cut your throat, friend. Respond, don't react. Thirdly, always look up and over. Look at the idea of looking over an offense, if you will. The discretion of a man, Proverbs 19:11, makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Look at this in the New Living Translation. People with good sense restrain their anger. They earn esteem by overlooking wrongs. Can I just say it this way? I don't know where I heard it, but never kill a fly with a sledgehammer. Okay? When you're wronged, you're going to get wronged. The question is are you big enough to do something about it? The question is, are you big enough not to do something about it? Heard about two brothers, and I've kind of seen the similarities in Eli and Eli at different times. But these two brothers were in an awful fight upstairs. The mother ran upstairs to break it up. And when she asked who started the fight, the older brother said, "It all started when he hit me back." Say this with me. Anger is a secondary emotion. Say this with me. Hurt people. Hurt people. Hurt people. Hurt people. It's a secondary emotion. But you and I have to understand what the word says as God's children. Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. American medical internists, they study the inner parts, obviously. They state 80% of all the illnesses they treat are secondary illnesses. That means they're not caused by germs, even in the coronavirus day. It's not caused by germs or physical harm or even aging. The cause for the internal combustion within their life is depression or anger. When hurt by somebody, we've got to come to the place where we can step back and tell ourselves, this is one of God's creations, and they must have been very hurt to say or to do this to me. You say, well, man, Pastor, that's pretty pie in the sky thinking. Can I tell you? It is if you operate in the flesh. Just flying off the handle, tearing sheets up. But when you operate under the power of the Holy Spirit and desire to be a child of God, the power of God can infuse you and you can respond the right way. Don't associate with angry people or with the angry. This is number four. Look what the Bible says about angry people. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. We become like the people that we spend time with. My favorite verse, I don't discount it at all. 1 Corinthians 15:33, when I was a youth pastor, 15:33 of 1 Corinthians was my favorite verse to speak to parents and to kids. Be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. If we spend time with angry and rebellious people, we're going to eventually become angry and rebellious ourselves. Children from abused homes often become abusers themselves. Why? Because anger is contagious, friend. I've told you the story many times, but I still love it. It's about Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle. In his autobiography, Billy Martin wrote, his book's number name was number one because that's what Billy Martin wore when he was the manager for the Yankees and the Tigers. And Billy Martin, on the left of this picture, decided to go on a hunting trip with Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle asked him to tag along. And Mickey Mantle was allowed to hunt on his buddy's ranch. And when they arrived at the ranch, Mickey told Billy, "Wait in the car, and I'm going to check with my friend if we can hunt." Mantle's friend said, "You know what? Absolutely, you can hunt." He gave him permission to hunt, and then Mantle was asked a favor by his friend that owned the ranch. He said, "You know what? I got a pet mule out in the barn. It's going blind. I don't have the heart to put him out of his misery. Would you shoot the mule for me?" Mickey agreed. When he came back, he thought he was going to play a joke on Billy Martin, and he pretended to be really angry. He slammed the door shut. "What's wrong?" Billy Martin asked. Mantle growled. "You know," he said, "we couldn't hunt on the land, and I'm so mad at that guy, I'm going to go out into his barn and shoot one of his mules." Mantle drove like a maniac out to the barn, told Martin, "Stay in the car." Martin was horrified. He shouts back at Mantle, "We can't do that," Mickey Mantle said. "You just watch me." When they arrived at the barn, Mantle jumped from the car with his rifle, ran inside, shot the mule. And as he's leaving, Mickey heard two more shots and ran back to the car. He saw Martin had taken his rifle out of the car. And Mantle said, "What are you doing?" Billy hollered back, flushed with his face filled with anger. He said, "We'll show that jerk. I just killed two of his cows, too." Anger's highly contagious, friend. And parents, can I just say this? Pray with Ron and I. We're going to do this. We're going to actively be involved in the types of relationships that our kids establish. Fifthly, not only don't associate with angry people, always look up and over. Don't react, respond. Count anger's cost. But fifthly, limit anger's 3 D's. Limit anger's 3 D's. You say, what are they, Pastor? First off is the duration of the anger. The word tells us that our anger ought to be short-lived, Brighton. Ephesians 4:26, we quoted it earlier. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Whatever it is that's causing you anger, Brighton, deal with it as soon as possible. If you don't, have you ever met people? You know, it's almost like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, they've been in this feud, running feud for a while. And then after a while, if you tried to track it down, what are you really angry about? They couldn't even track it down, but they're just angry. Deal with it ASAP. It's kind of like Phyllis Diller used to say, "Hey, stay up and fight." Well, I don't know about that. But Phyllis got it half right. We ought to resolve our anger quickly. You know, Ron and I, she'll tell you quicker than I will. You know what? Our first couple years of marriage, you know what? We had some late nights. One time we got in a fight, we didn't sleep for 4 months. No, I'm telling you. But you can't afford to get embittered. That's why you deal with it, the duration of the anger. You keep it short. Secondly is this, limit the direction of your anger. Attack problems, say problems, say principles, but don't attack people and personalities. Attack the problems, the direction of your anger. Thirdly, limit the dimension of your anger. Look what the word says, Proverbs 15:1, if you've got your notes, jot it down. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." There's a speech research unit at Kenyon College. And they discovered through a series of tests, Brighton, that when a person is shouted at, he cannot help but shout back. And yet they discovered that you can control a person's tone of voice by your own. And they've proven in their research that if you keep your voice soft, you will not become angry, and it's most likely able to prevent the other person from becoming angry. Wow. In your life, limit the duration, the direction, and the dimension of your anger. And as the worship team comes back, one last idea. What do you do? I would say, Brighton, learn regarding anger, learn regulation, regulate it, but don't eliminate it. Learn regulation, but not elimination. Can I just say this again? Anger is an emotion God himself experiences. Did you know that it isn't always a sin to be angry? No less than 18 times in the Old Testament, the phrase is used, and the anger of the Lord. I would submit to you that those who want to emphasize solely the love of God really don't understand the other side of the holiness of God. Let me just say parenthetically to talk to you about this for a minute. It's not the predominance of the message. But Brighton, here's the deal. We live in a world that emphasizes the love of God, and we should. But the thing that allows us to experience the love of God is the fact that the Lord has forgiven his wrath being poured out on us by what Jesus did on the cross. But he is angry towards sin, not the sinner. And you and I need to understand, if it wasn't for Jesus going to the cross, we would experience his wrath. If you want to understand that or you believe that, say amen. And so that's why the word of the Lord says this, Psalm 7:11. God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses his wrath every day. Literally, that word wrath in that passage talks about foaming at the mouth. Do you know how angry you've got to be to foam at the mouth? Yet that is the anger of God towards wickedness. Not the wicked, but wickedness. He loves the sinner, yet he hates the sin. And I would submit to you, Brighton, a person who's always angry is a fool. But a person who's never angry is a wimp. Look at the great preacher, Harriet Beecher Stowe's brother. Lyman Beecher's brother, great preacher, Henry Ward Beecher. Look what he said years ago. A man that does not know how to be angry does not know how to be good. A man that does not know how to be shaken to his heart's core with indignation over things evil is either a fungus or a wicked man. Two occasions where we ought to be angry, right? When people disobey God. And we ought to be angry when people in authority and power stand against what is right for what is wrong, when they hurt others in the process. Can I just say, I pray it's controlled. But when I look at that governor of Virginia and wanting to kill babies even after they're born, it makes me mad. But my anger ought to turn so that I pray for that revelation, for that man to see the sin in his life. And I also ought to pray, you know what, if he's not going to turn, Lord, I'm praying they vote him out of office. Jesus was able to be angry at the right place, at the right people, for the right reason, at the right time, in the right way. So let me just show you five or six things we ought to be angry with God's help. We ought to be angry, Brighton, over the innocent and the unborn killed by abortion. That ought to make us angry so that we pray and say, oh God, someday may we look back and say this was similar and greater offense than even the Holocaust, that we could do this killing 70 million babies over this period of time. 70 million. Rhonda covered that a few weeks ago. We ought to be angry over the liquor industry that is wreaking havoc and wrecking lives and homes. We ought to be angry, Brian, over sex craze, profanity-filled entertainment, and the movie industry. You know, well, I'm stepping on some toes. Why don't I just keep on stepping on toes, okay? You know, I just got to tell you, even the NFL, and I like sports as much as anybody, okay? But you can't champion to treat women the right way and then produce a halftime show like the NFL did last Sunday for the Super Bowl. You just can't do it. The duplicity of that is just abhorrent. And it ought to make us mad when the profanity and the sex craze mentality just fills our culture. And Lord help us if we ever get to the point where we say, oh, man, no, really, no big deal. About to be angered. It's not on the screen, but about the sex trafficking. You ought to be angry, Brighton, about child abuse. You ought to be angry about just the gambling industry. You know, the politicians and the mindset, oh, this is the panacea while people's homes. Drive by those casinos in downtown Detroit. Do you think they got built by everybody winning at the gambling table? You know what? The whole idea of our lottery system. It's tragic how it's a tax on the poor. It ought to break our hearts. Racial prejudice ought to upset us. And the way to be angry and sin not, Brighton, is to be angry at nothing but sin. I believe that. Can you pray with me? Lord, help us to be angry at sin. I'll close with this story about a man. I respected his ministry very much. He's gone to be with the Lord. But he pastored a great Baptist church in Hammond, Indiana. His name was Jack Hiles. Back in the day, Jack Hiles bust in tons of inner city kids from the suburbs and the inner city of Chicago to that great church in Indiana. And Jack Hiles told the story about a child of his that was once assigned to read a book that was filled with terrible language and questionable situations. And the more Hiles perused the book, the angrier he got. And eventually, he marched up to the principal's office and went in and politely but firmly said, "My son is not going to read this book. He'll be assigned a different book to read, and he will not be marked down because of it." The principal was kind of taken aback and intending to argue with Hiles. He said, "But," and Dr. Hiles interrupted him and said softly but sternly, "No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He will not be forced to read this book, and he will be assigned another one. Is that clear?" The principal said, "All right, Dr. Hiles, but I don't understand the fuss. After all, the language in that book is no worse than what's written on the bathroom walls." And Dr. Hiles just smiled and said, "Yes, and when that becomes required reading, I'll be back to see you." Would you stand with me? It's tough to be angry with the right measure, focused at the right place, at the right time, towards the right people or the right situation. But God can help you.